Coming up on TMS, I took a trip to Logan.
Get ready to be scared with me.
Sorry about the pink water.
Ear snake.
Stop or I'll shoot my banana.
Snorlax into his house.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Cartel. Handmade fresh ice cream. Cartel. Made fresh in each store. Cartel. Your Carvel dealer can show you how it's made. Cartel. Custom design cakes. Cartel. No air pump used for 50 years. Cartel. America's freshest ice cream. Cartel. Thanks, folks, for 50 years of success.
They're gonna burn in hell! Excuse me.
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS, the morning stream for the 8th of March, 2017. Hey, what are the Ides of March? What's that?
The Ides is the 15th of every month. So every month has an Ides, right? Oh, there's the Ides of April, the Ides of May, the Ides of...
I didn't know that. I thought it was... Yeah. I only hear it in reference to March. Why is that?
Because that's when Julius Caesar got stabbed, and it was the foreshadowing of beware the Ides of March. Oh. And it was kind of like the foreshadowing of him getting stabbed.
By Brute.
By Brute. Et tu, Brute?
Et tu. You too, buddy. You too.
Exactly.
So I didn't know that. I'm not used to learning things right after the date on the show.
Right?
Yeah. It usually takes a little while. We uncover the mysteries of life as we go, not right away like this. This is crazy.
Right. Yeah, no, that's
I like
that's
it,
the deal with that.
I like
so
it.
Beware the 8th of March.
Okay.
Because it has been foretold to have many an appointment for a recommendal third party.
You know what's weird to hear about is, I guess you guys, Kansas, and I forgot the other state, are having like horrible wildfires right now.
Yeah.
What's up with that in March?
And the wind doesn't seem to help either. Right, I know. It's like you'd think that things wouldn't be so dry in March.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like August news, but it's not. It's happening in March, right. and probably will again in August. Is the bad part. So right. I don't get it. Like I know the winds definitely don't help. They just blow shit over freeways and things and make everything catch on fire. But
yeah, I guess. We're supposed to get 70-degree weather next week. 70 degrees in March. I love it.
It sounds great.
Totally bike time.
Sounds so good right now.
I'm going to be a bikey man.
Supposed to warm
from
up.
A bikey gang.
Supposed to warm up here, too. That's your weather. We'll be back in a half an hour with a check on traffic. So go on back for that.
Oh, and today, by the way, Archineer says maybe you should mention Women's Day before you get emails. Yeah, today is officially a day. It's
International Women's Appreciation Day, isn't that the full title?
Correct. Okay. And but there's a march called A Day Without Women.
Mm. Or is that just to remind all the men how it would suck without them?
That's right. Exactly.
I agree. It would suck without them. I like them a lot. I like the women. In fact, I don't know.
We spend so much time thinking about sex that we'd probably be so much more efficient if it weren't for women.
You think so?
Men would be so much more productive.
I think it'd be like
prison.
We
may not be reproductive, but we'd be productive.
I think it'd be like prison. They just all start rubbing on each other. That's what would happen. Everybody would be, you know, I'm sure occasionally there's an actual gay person in prison, but most of the time those guys are just like, well, if it's alive, it's warm and it moves. I'm going to.
Oh, jeez.
You know what
you
I mean?
Sure.
I'm not. I mean,
we went about learning about Caesar and the Ides of March to.
That reminds me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Up or down, Caesar salad. Like it or hate it.
Oh, I love Caesar salad.
I hate it. What is
really?
Wrong with me? Yeah. I'm fully admitting right here there's something wrong with me.
Well, what specifically is it? Is it the dressing? Because that's.
Nope.
I would assume. Oh, really?
I like that stuff just fine. I like the crouton action. I like.
The Parmesan cheese shreds.
Sure, those are good. What I don't like, it's the romaine.
The type of lettuce that they use in a Caesar.
Yeah, with the little. It's like it's got the. How do you put this? They're like wings, and the middle part's too thick.
Oh, but see, that's the middle part. You know what I love about that kind of lettuce in a Caesar salad is it makes it so easy to stab with your fork. Like regular iceberg lettuce, it's all thin. And, and you know, when you're going to the where you get into the bottom of the bowl and you've got the iceberg lettuce that is dressinged like wallpaper to the side of your bowl, the inside of your bowl. You can't stab it with your fork. You kind of got to go at an angle and you're just basically pushing it around. But with Caesar salad and romaine lettuce, it's that thick part, the branches of the lettuce, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to stab it. It's a convenient stabbing.
Here's how I describe it. The gross part of the lettuce. I can't stand it. That little hump in the middle is disgusting to me. And I think
it tastes exactly
problem.
The same as the rest of the lettuce. It's like, I don't think it's any more bitter or any more flavorless.
It's like a texture thing, I think. Like it's like I'm eating a hard, it's like eating
celery.
Yeah, and I don't like celery either. I hate celery. So maybe that's part of my problem. Yeah.
Dunaway nails it. Wedge salad is the total way to go.
But Brian Dunaway, what's he doing in there?
I love the wedge salad. That's what I get now. It is the laziest salad to get at a restaurant because what are they doing? They're basically cutting an iceberg head of lettuce into quarters or eighths or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just giving you a wedge, dumping some goop on there.
Yep.
Maybe a couple tomatoes and some bacon. And
yeah. They're making you do most of the work.
That's right.
I actually don't like those very much either.
I love those.
Okay. Oh, there's Dunaway. So I like, now that we've talked about the salads I don't like, here you go.
Sure.
I like me leafy greens, man. Like lots of spriggy looking weird leaves, different colors. I like a little spinach in there. I like it like, something more than just like iceberg or romaine. I want some grass in there.
Some arugula?
Yeah.
Yeah, what kinds of things do you not want in your salad? Like, are you a jicama fan?
What's jicama? Remind me.
It's like they're like little building blocks that are crispy, like a it's like a
they're like a little. It's almost like a root, a cube root. Okay,
right, and it's cube. It's the cube root of salads.
Yeah. It's okay. I don't hate them. They're all right. If it's just that, I don't want that.
But you don't mind the occasional one, the salad. What about cucumbers?
Cucumbers are great in there. Love it. Got to be good ones, though. Carrots, great. No problem. Peas. Peas. No peas. I don't like peas in my salad.
Oh, peas. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's weird. That's like, those should not be on there. Even fresh ones. Come on. Get those off my salad. I like little cubed meats are fine. I like seeds. Sure, like sunflower seeds and that sort of thing. What's that stuff called? Kim puts it on stuff and I just forgot the name of it. It's like a bread almost, but it's like a...
But not croutons.
No, but you can bread things with it and it's considered better than like, you know, deep frying something, but you get the same effect. It's called... Shit! It's got a name!
It's a thing you eat, so it's like... Like something you can, panko.
Panko,
panko, okay, yeah.
That's
good. You can use it for breading. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have that just a little sprinkle in there. Like, I like almost everything, but it's the lettuce, it's the core lettuce thing. I like iceberg enough, it's fine. Mm-hmm. To get rid of the ones with the Caesar salad shit, I don't want that. Or go straight to leafy green. Looks like you just raked the lawn in mid-July. Just,
that's funny because I wouldn't expect you to be a fan of like the, you know, the arugula that looks like dandelion leaves, you know,
I love that stuff. So good. And I want it mixed, right? I don't want just that.
Course.
I want it mixed. I want a little kale in there. I want a whole bunch of different kind of leaves. I mean, I want it to look like I'm studying agriculture or something.
Mushrooms you're good with?
Yep, totally. Mushrooms, raw or cooked, they're fine either way.
Sure. Tomatoes, I'm sure, no problem with.
Yep, no problem with tomatoes.
Cherry or tomato chunks?
Right. I prefer wedges over chunks or certainly over... I don't like the little cherry ones. I think that's weird. They're like eating grapes that taste wrong. I don't like them.
I'm going to find something. I'm going to find it. Black olives.
I like them.
Wow. All right.
Green olives too. I'll take those as well. Like give me a, and I'll have pickle, like chopped up pickles on my salad.
Sure. Yeah. Now we're talking. I'm trying to think of anything else we can put in a salad. So,
tuna.
So really it's the peas are your
peas and the crappy lettuce. That's it.
Well,
that's those are the only, I think I could pretty much go anywhere else. I don't like, probably not onions. I don't need onions. Maybe chives I can get away with, but I don't want like ringed onions in there.
Well, they're hard to eat. I kind of like the, you know, when they chop up the purple onions, though.
Oh, those aren't bad. Yeah, yeah, no, those are all right. I like purple onions on burgers. That's the only way to live right there. Boy, this is just making me hungry this time.
I know. Hey, you know what? At least we're doing salad and not talking about the menu at Taco Bell or something like that.
Yeah, or the Arby's Butt Rocket or whatever the new thing is they're doing over there. Hey, check it out. What was it called? The Meat Mountain?
Arby's new Butt Rocket.
Come try it today. all right, so Alex Jones is here.
They're going to burn in hell. Excuse me.
All right, so there's that. We got stuff to talk about, a few things going on. I saw Logan last night with the wife and kid and took Nick to it. And
Is it Nick scarred for life now?
No, he loved it.
Yeah.
How do I put this? It is... I can't believe I'm saying this because there are two other examples that I would have put above almost everything else until yesterday. But I'm going to say it's my favorite comic book movie of all time.
Wow.
Nothing comes close to me, close to it. And I have high regard for both Dark Knight and Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Those were both my top picks before last night. I think this took it over.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we'll let it sink in for a few weeks and see how I feel after. But initial reaction is, man, that is a freaking comic book movie. And it is very clear that what's his name, Mangold, the director who both wrote, directed, and produced the thing, had full creative control over this thing. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't feel like a typical Hollywood comic book treatment at all. It feels like there's been some real risks. And I don't just mean the obvious rated R swearing and violence and things, but it just felt like they were free to make the story they wanted to make. And it really resonated with me and worked on every possible level. And I loved it. Loved it. Now, everyone wants to go, okay, Scott, so how does that compare to Mad Max Fury Road? And I'll give you the answer. It's not quite that. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't put it quite there, but it's up there and real good. So,
and those Reavers are, you know, they're borderline.
Yeah.
Borderline Mad Max characters.
Yeah, they're working on it. They're all they're all Furiosas in their own special way.
That's right. They kind of are.
I just freaking loved it, dude. Loved it.
And without any spoilers.
Yeah.
The you know, everybody knows that it's Logan and it's Xavier and it's X-23. Mm-hmm. But the fourth character that's part of their little merry bunch that
it was such a nice surprise.
Yeah, and the actor. Yeah. This is so cool. Yeah.
At first I was like, who is this? Oh my gosh, I know who it is. And I leaned over to Nick and he couldn't believe it. His reference is Portal 2. That may have given it away.
Sure.
But
sure.
He's perfect. He's perfect in it.
He is.
And there's so much like actual like loss and heartbreak and triumph and emotion. And the entire thing, I'll say this, the entire thing makes or breaks on the performance of that girl, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been garbage poop if she was bad. Mm-hmm. She nailed it.
She did.
And because she nailed it, it made it all the better. Like that was so important. I cannot emphasize enough how much her ability to do what she needed to do would have either ruined or made that movie work. And it made the movie work. And she is amazing. Oh my gosh.
Totally, totally agree. And I think, I definitely want to see more. I want to see an X-23 series. Spin it off.
Yep. I'm ready
for
it.
Do it up, Fox.
Yep. X-24, though. Forget it. You got a little something in the head there.
That's right.
But it's just, oh, my gosh, dude. If this is how, do whatever you want with your ratings. I don't care. But if this is the new trend toward telling a more mature comic book tale or take on some of the more mainstream characters, I'm so about this. Like, this is
It wouldn't work for everybody. I mean, it makes perfect sense for Wolverine and Deadpool because they're darker characters. If DC were to do a Lobo movie, for example, it would absolutely be R. Suicide Squad made sense as an R film.
Right.
But you couldn't do, you know, if there was a Howard the Duck movie, chances are, well, I take that back because those the comic book that Howard the Duck is based on does have its...
Mm-hmm.
It's raciness.
Suicide Squad was PG-13, wasn't it? I thought it was.
What's that?
Wasn't Suicide Squad PG-13?
Oh, I thought it was R. No, or was it the R? I guess they the DVD release or video release.
Oh, they have like an R-rated
the or R-rated cut. Version or the uncut version or something.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm looking here. It says PG-13, but I wasn't aware. Maybe I haven't seen it yet, so maybe that's the one I'll watch is the unrated or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's one. I mean, I guess unless you really try to seek out the PG-13 version, I think any version that you download or rent or stream, you know, iTunes or whatever, is going to be the.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe not. Maybe you can. Maybe you have a choice.
That's interesting. I'm not trying to think if I've ever heard of a movie.
I guess you'd have to have that choice, right? I guess they couldn't just automatically say, nope, this uncut version is going to be the only version you get going forward.
Yeah, it's like, hey, remember that movie your 14-year-old loved in the theaters? You can get it now.
Here's say goodbye to that because they're never going to see that again.
Movies. All right,
good point.
But anyway, it's special. It's just great, and it's a little harsh. I mean, I'm not gonna you know, sugarcoat it here. If you take your young ones, you're making a mistake. Don't do that. I mean, it is rough, and you get to see what Wolverine's claws were meant for.
Right.
Like, for real. And
oh, look at that. Even the Suicide Squad that you rent on iTunes is just the PG-13 version. You don't even have...
You don't have the option?
Maybe it's here we go. Suicide Squad extended cut with extra footage not seen in theaters.
Oh. Is that R, though?
That's in the iTunes extras. So if you get the regular... So if you rent it on iTunes, you get both versions, I guess.
But is that other version R, or is it just more
scenes? I guess you get the extra... Oh, that's weird. I can't tell...
Maybe they never did one.
I can't tell what you get here.
You get Margot Robbie's phone number.
And, if only.
Yeah, give her a call. See what's up.
There you go. Yeah, you get the choice of playing the regular one or the extended cut. So.
Oh. All right. I wonder what the extended cut is, because I probably need to see that one, I guess, right? I mean, everyone hated that movie, or everyone I talked to hated it. So I don't know. I don't know what if I want to see.
I certainly didn't hate it. I didn't. Certainly wasn't one of my favorite comic book movies, but it was a very interesting change of pace from the typical comic book movie.
Well, they won for best makeup. They must have had something going on there.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, go see Logan if you are a discerning adult and of mature status, and see if you agree with me. I think it's now my top comic book film of all time.
Wow.
And that surprised me. I expected to like it. I didn't expect to love it. And I loved it. And part of it, I think, I mean, look, I have biases. This is all very subjective anyway, but, you know, it was kind of like a Western in a lot of ways. It followed a lot of those tropes, and I'm huge on those tropes. So I'm already kind of, you know, I went in biased and I came out even more biased. It's really good.
Sure.
Anyway, so there's that. Logan, see it. Watch it. I am going to make an announcement now. You ready?
I'm ready.
I got it working yesterday. I did some testing. Some people, thank you, Tad Poolers, who came by to help me test it. But I've got it so that I can stream the way I want to stream my consoles through my PC so that I can stream them in a way that lets me have more control over the stream rather than just using the default built-in PlayStation streaming thing. Or in the case of the Switch, I had no way to stream it except doing this. So anyway, I'm capturing video now and audio from the game, sending it via Twitch. And that means, because they donated it, I'm going to be doing a playthrough of Resident Evil 7. Not in VR, so calm yourselves down. I'm not doing that. That was not my commitment. I will not put a headset on and put myself in that. But I hate, scary games really get me. They work on me in a way that I think some people have no idea how much they work on me. They really get me. I've told stories in the past how I couldn't turn the lights off or go put the dogs away when I played the first PlayStation 1 version of Silent Hill. And that was forever ago. And that game looked like crap if you look at it now. But it didn't matter. I was terrified. And that's how I do these things. I'm terrified of scary video games. So I committed to do it, though, because they sent me a copy. That's RE7. I don't know when I'm starting it. I'll have a regular schedule for it, though. I'll probably have someone here with me. Either watching it on a Skype screen share or something so I can have someone to talk to. Right. Because I can't do this alone. But anyway, as unthrilled as I am at the idea, I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. So watch for details via Twitter and other places when that begins. So Scott screaming his way through Resident Evil 7.
Wait.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I'll put it on YouTube as well. It'll be YouTube as well as streamed on Twitch, so watch for that. All right. What say you in the realm of let's have Daryl on? Do you like that idea?
I am agreeing with the let's have Daryl on part of that.
You like the Daryl?
Daryl on.
You're Daryl on. Oh, my. That's a great name for like a space villain, isn't it?
It totally is, yes.
Daryl on.
I am Daryl on. You have entered this sector uninvited. You shall face the wrath of Darylon. All right, let's get him called in. Let's add him to the thing, and then let's play this here. Daryl. Oh, why isn't that working? Hold on. There we go. Hey, Daryl Skills is on the line. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Hey, you ready to be stumped? How's that feel to you?
It feels wonderful.
How's that feel, huh? Yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah, how do you like that? It's nice to have you on. Now, I have it under some authority that you, you don't have to say anything here, but you have some inside connection on how things are going for the new Star Trek series. And my question to you is this, without revealing any of that, do you feel more or less optimistic about Star Trek's chances Discovery or whatever it's called as a TV show than you did previously? Like, are we feeling any better about it now than we were, say, a month ago?
I would say yes.
Oh, interesting. All right, and is that tell me more about why that's why yes, or do you can you say why you think you have higher expectations now than you did before?
Well, the only thing that I ever had a problem with was the time period. But I think they're going to, I don't know, I just feel better about it. It seems like they're making good progress now. So I guess that's why.
Yeah, progress is important. Even if the production struggled in the beginning, if they're, you know, filming and producing and acting and making and you know, and yeah, all that, rapping on episodes, that's a big deal. So
they're actually doing it.
They're actually doing it. We're also going to take a call here from this person. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Scott, it's William Madison from Portland.
Well, hello, William Madison from Portland. William from Portland, everybody. Oh, William from Portland.
Yes, our blind contestant,
yeah,
right?
blind William, we call him.
Yep.
I mean,
if he was a jazz performer, he'd be Blind Willie from Portland.
That's right, Blind Willie.
That's right.
Wailing on the saxophone. It's good to have you again, William. As always, you're here to be not stumped, but help Daryl be stumped.
And change. We'll figure out the prizes because one of these things. Well, you know, I'll let you decide. If you win, I'll let you decide if you want to swap out one of your prizes.
All right, fair enough.
Can I say something that might be offensive?
Yeah, always.
Oh, sure.
I'm glad that he's blind and doesn't just have one eye.
Oh.
What?
Wait a minute. What's the reference? Hold on, this is familiar. Hold on. He's blind.
Oh.
I don't get it.
Why, because he'd have a map to the gold in Goonies?
No.
I know the other reference to that, and that's horrible.
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Geez. What is it? You don't want to explain?
I'm not saying it.
Nobody wants to explain?
You drove down this cul-de-sac, Daryl. I'm going to let you get us out of it.
All right.
Poop.
All right. That's what Daryl says. All right, let's get to it then. Brian, you want to explain the rules and what our topic is today?
I will absolutely do that exact thing. William, you know the rules. You've done this before, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question, and he's going to answer. The answer to that question is a number. We're then going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a prize package that includes an alien chest burster apron. So this is something you can wear to protect clothing for any sort of reason. Right. And the season 2 of Breaking Bad. And of course, I have other options. If there's something that you'd prefer, we can figure that out if you win.
Yeah. As good as season 2 of Breaking Bad is, you can absolutely make a choice. I just realized, I think what Daryl was doing, was it a penis reference? Is that what that was? Some kind of wiener thing? Was it? Daryl?
Can you see your...
No, I can't. Oh, maybe I can. Did you send me a thing?
No, just the the connection thingy here, the Hangouts.
Oh, hold on. Video. I'm looking right now. Hold on. One-Eyed Willie. Yeah. Okay. So exactly what it was. Nice. Well done. Well, William, you've really spawned.
I think William is now rooting for Daryl to lose.
Yeah, I think he might be. I would as well. All right. Hey, so let's get to the question. Oh, Brian, what's this topic?
The topic today is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Ooh, the bad movie. So here goes. That's the other thing I want to say about Logan. Wolverine Origins, garbage. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Garbage yeah. Movie. It's the worst. It's my least favorite.
It's one of the worst comic book. I mean, you know, the Schumacher Batman movies probably compete for that bottom spot.
It's close though. It's so damn close. It's bad. And then two was pretty good. It was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. It was certainly an improvement over Origins. This one is like amazing by all standards. It's that's a weird path for movies like this to go from garbage, okay, amazing. You know?
To go from F to C plus to A in three movies is pretty damn impressive.
I wish I could get Nick to go from F to C plus to A in one semester.
Right.
That'd be great. All right. So here's your question, Daryl. Logan is an amazing movie, says Mike, aka Iceworm. However, X-Men Origins Wolverine was not. It was shite. How much money did the 2009 X-Men Origins movie gross globally? This includes domestic gross and international gross. And I will give you a hint. It is somewhere north of $100 million and south of $1 billion. It's a nice big broad range there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have an answer.
Okay. Whoa.
Hey, I'll say.
How come they didn't just spin off the what's his name from that movie? Weren't they going to? They were going to make a
Deadpool.
No, that Deadpool treatment was awful.
It was horrible. It's funny though that they, you know, that they realize Ryan Reynolds is the man to keep for Deadpool. But
It's the whole
Gambit, right? Is that
Gambit? Yes, Gambit. He was great. I thought. What's his name? Is Gambit?
Taylor.
It's Kitsch.
Kitsch, right? Yeah. From Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Man from Mars or Bill Ben Man from Mars.
I think that might be what John
Wick from Mars.
John Carter Warlord of Mars.
Yeah, maybe that's what did him in for that deal. I don't know.
Yeah, because then they were talking about another Gambit with what's his face, the Magic Mike guy.
Oh, right, and that went nowhere, right?
Or went did nowhere. It?
Okay, Gambit's.
So I don't know
dumb.
What's happening with Gambit. Is the Gambit still? Gambit still happening?
I think Gambit's a shitty character. I'm just gonna say it out loud. He's okay in moments, but he throws cards.
Oh, you can throw anything you want. Yeah. Why are you gonna do cards, which are like notoriously the most difficult thing to throw and get where you want them to go?
He's a New Orleans stereotype.
I guess because you can get a bunch of them cheap, cheaply.
Yeah.
But I mean, even, you know, cigarettes probably. A bag of marbles probably would be as expensive as a deck of cards, and you could throw those a lot better.
Yeah, I like that better. Marble throwing marbles around in the comics would be great. Well, anyway, it's kinetic energy
aside.
As of
February 27th, 2017, Simon Kinberg, says that the Gambit movie is still on, still happening.
Mm.
Was it Channing Tatum?
Tatum.
Still Channing Tatum. It's Tatum stopping Channing. And starting like an ancient jalopy puttering down an unpaved road.
All right. I guess bring it. I just think you had some momentum when you had Taylor Kitsch there and you could have just kept going. But whatever. Origins is so bad. Who cares? That movie's so bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, Daryl, what do you think on that number? You got a idea?
I have a number.
Okay.
I thought it did well, even though it wasn't great.
North of 100. I think north of 100 million is considered. I think that's considered successful, even if it, you know, I mean, that's a lot of first weekenders who then go, "Ooh, that was bad," and never went back. But
you know, if they wanted to have Gambit and Logan, would have been the perfect age for Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have shown up and gone, all right, throw a card and left.
Wolverine keeps getting older. I keep staying the same age.
Same age. It'd be better if you did. That's Bill Clinton for some reason.
That's right. I did not have sex with Rogue.
That would have been bad. She would have sucked all my powers out. Anyway, Daryl.
Okay. I'm going to say 347
million. $347 million.
Wow.
This is global movie gross. 347. Brian, is that number right?
347 million is incorrect. William, is the correct answer higher or lower than 347 million?
Well, that was about what I was thinking of. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go, if we're talking global, I'm going to have to go higher.
Higher than that. So higher than 347 million globally. Let's find out if you're right. Is he right?
Congratulations.
He is right.
You're a winner.
That movie made 373-point-something wow. million dollars.
So you were really, really close.
Pretty close, Daryl. I would gladly take the money that is the difference between the number you said and the number that is.
All right, yeah.
I'd be happy to have that in my bank. The movie took in that total. That was worldwide. This could be due to the movie being really bad, meaning that's why it didn't go on to do much more. Thankfully, the next two Wolverines got much better and, of course, made more money. This Wolverine movie the other day did like $85 million opening weekend, which is some kind of record, I think, for the weekend. So, well done to Logan. And I think Patrick Stewart might... I'm going to make a prediction. You ready? Patrick Stewart, possible Best Supporting Actor nomination next year for the Oscars. Possible.
Oh, okay.
All right. Just throwing it out. It may not happen, but I think he's good enough to make it happen. It may need to... the movie may suffer from... Oh, it came out in March, and the Oscars are a year away, and sometimes that stuff gets ignored, but I think he's good enough in this to warrant it. And also doesn't it feel like Patrick Stewart is due his Oscar moment? Like
he is. Yeah.
Been working a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Not since, Apt Pupil or American History X have we seen a... which one was it? Was one of those two was Patrick Stewart. And I get those two movies confused.
Well, wait, hold on. Apt Pupil was his buddy Ian McKellen.
Was Ian. Okay, so American History X must have been.
Was American History X him? Don't ask Brian any trivia questions this week. He's
hey,
all
my
out
brain
of...
is mush. It is mush, I tell you.
History X, Patrick.
No, it wasn't no, he's Patrick not Stewart. In a... What am I thinking of?
I don't know. I can't think of anything Patrick Stewart's been in where they were like, oh, he should get a deal.
It was a dark. It was a dark role, and I know I'm confusing. I'm confusing a couple different roles. I'm sure
he is Professor X. So maybe you're thinking of History X, Professor X.
that could totally be where I'm getting the.
Yeah. By the way, I had a friend who's a self-proclaimed Christian who's mad at the Wolverine movie. And Brian,
really?
You tell me if you can think of why. Why do you think he's mad?
Oh, because of the very end.
Yep. And I said to him, are you freaking kidding me? You have got to take this stuff less seriously.
That's
comic book movie.
Right.
I mean, really.
Plus, I don't want to give away what happens, but it's a really poignant moment. Like, it matters. And it's well handled, and it's really well done. And this guy's all hung up on that. It drives me freaking crazy when he acts like this. Anyway, I don't want to give it away. American History Professor X, correct. Yeah. That's the movie.
I don't know
in.
What I'm thinking of, because I'm looking through his list, and I could have sworn that he was in one of those two films, but he totally, absolutely wasn't. So I don't know what I'm confusing he did that would have been similar.
French Stewart. You're thinking of French Stewart, and it's always about the French Stewart.
It is about the French Stewart.
Oh, that's funny, by the way. I got this for you. Where is it? Brian. Where did I put your file?
French Stewart was in the Recommendals.
Here you are.
Movie it's not night. Fisher Stevens. Suck, suck, suck. Oh, it's not Fisher Stevens. I knew, you know,
suck.
Before Bo Schwartz made that comment in Slack, I knew this was coming.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, well done and congratulations. Do you want the season two or what do you want there? What are you guys thinking there, Brian and William?
Well, we could talk via email. You know, Chestburster, Alien Apron, and Breaking Bad season two DVDs are what's available, but if you want something else, then we can, discuss it over email. Send me an email and we'll figure it out.
Coverville@gmail.com. Okay. William, congratulations. Well done. Always a pleasure
Thanks so
to
much.
Have you on. We'll see you later. Tell all the hipsters to knock it off. All right. Daryl? What are you doing over there? Oh, yeah, it's Daryl the Trek Nerd. You can find him there at the Trek Nerd on Twitter and at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. He will now play a game with us, and he'll explain how or what or why.
I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
Cats blank.
Cats meow. Blank. I'll say meow.
Cats, and it's not apostrophe S, right?
No.
Okay. I'm going to say cats and cucumbers.
So it's cats meow and cats cucumbers.
My favorite
cats,
golden
cats
book.
Cats and cucumbers.
Cats and cucumbers, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my favorite golden book when I was five. Go ahead. It's the best.
My favorite board game.
Yeah.
I'll give it to Scott because it's cats meowing.
Oh, hey. Wow. All right. I like the sound of that.
Well done.
The first win ever, I think.
No, I don't think that's true. I think that that's not true at all. Daryl, mein Führer. It's the news brought to you by.
What do you get when you mix a bunch of tadpoolers in a stream blender? A bit of F, a cup of Wajit, a slice of diced tomato, and a pinch of Wicked Kitten. A slap. No one pinches the kitten. Though you also get a great stream from the Tadpool community. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, join us to sit back, play some games, and laugh as we make really awkward comments about random games. This week's game is the original Left 4 Dead. Who dies first? Who saves the day? And who starts car alarms just to watch the world burn? Find out by joining us on the stream. That's The Tadpool Plays on twitch.tv/TadpoolPlays, or check us out on our site at tadpoolplays.com.
Nice. Look at those guys doing their little thing. I think that's great. The town of Onoway in central Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of Onoway?
I've never heard of Onoway.
I have not either. It's Yoko
Onoway. Onoway.
Yoko Onoway. I wonder if it... It pissed off the rest of the cities, and they all broke up because of it.
That's right. It broke up Canada into provinces once Alberta started hanging out with Onaway.
Yeah. The town of Onaway in central Alberta, Canada, is apologizing to its 1,000 residents. No wonder we haven't heard of it. It's a very small town. After the drinking water from taps started to turn pink! Pink water! The Pinkertons are in town.
Are they putting Peep Oreos into the water?
No, it turns out. It says here, the complaints about the strange fuchsia-colored water started pouring into town.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, brown water is bad, but you can at least kind of say, all right, it's, you know, rust or pollution or whatever. For a while, there was a city here in Colorado where there was water coming out of the taps that was flammable.
Oh, my
Lord.
Like,
you could light the water coming out of the taps.
That's horrifying.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
What did it turn out to be?
I don't remember. Some sort of low-level pollution thing that was coming in from a factory or who knows what.
Did it hurt? If people drank it, would they be in trouble? Like, I assume they would.
Right? Probably. Probably wasn't very good for them, but I don't remember it going to anybody getting sick or dead, but
Water, man.
Yeah, flammable water in what was it like? So here we go. It was from fracking.
Yeah,
and it actually was maybe methane getting into.
So like cow farts in there.
That's right. I'm trying to find. So this was 90. This was from the Denver Post. Sea researchers found methane in 64% of groundwater sites tested, but they were caused by naturally occurring microbial processes, not the oil and gas industry. So it was just methane in the water.
Okay, so it wasn't fracking that did it.
No,
but fracking.
Well,
is
it
known...
might have been fracking that that caused the methane contamination. Basically. Moving stuff in and around and stuff. I don't know.
That's not good. We have a thing with radon gas here that's like that, where certain parts of the valley, it's a naturally occurring gas. Mm-hmm. It sounds awful. Radon gas.
Right.
Sounds like something that, you know, Nazis would use. But it comes up through the earth, and it's naturally occurring. And if your house doesn't have good circulation, air circulation, it can basically give you all sorts of bloody lung cough up. Sort of. You'll be like Logan at the end of that movie. Spoilers. Yeah, let's just, it's in the trailers. Logan gets the crap beat out of him. All right, you guys have seen it.
He does, yes.
Anyway, residents of the town, which is 60 kilometers northwest of Edmonton, were puzzled and perturbed by the bright pink water and took to social media. I want you guys to see this chat room. I'm going to put this link up and you can look at it. There it is. That is what the water looked like.
That is freaky. That is really freaky.
Yeah, I would never drink anything close to this.
No, I mean, it's not just water that's kind of like a little bit pink. It is like nail polish pink.
Yep, and it got worse for some people and less for others. Like, here's a video where it's not quite as dark. It gets darker the more he fills it. It might be the same, but it's a different sink. Anyway, it's horrifying.
That is really horrifying.
Did that make you want to pee right then? Here, let me do it again.
The liquid, yeah. Or hearing the liquid.
Is that what, are you one of those people? Well, I don't do that.
I'm pantsless right now, and there is a bucket on the floor because of my long podcasting session. So I could, if I wanted to, pee right now.
Okay. I have a stadium pal strapped to my leg. That's how I do it.
Do you, a trucker buddy?
Mm-hmm. My little trucker buddy. The stadium pal. Also in the news, a pet snake got caught in a woman's stretched earlobe.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Here's a photo of that. You can see this poor woman with a snake. Link. Oh, it's like my snake, Norman. It's a ball python.
It's like Gage's, I'm guessing. Oh, it totally is. And that's just,
that's really, right. That's pretty freaky. Although, yeah. You know what's weird? That doesn't bother me at all. Like, doesn't make me squeamish. It's just like, oh, you don't want to get one stuck there. But
it's less the, it's just the ripping and tearing that's freaking me out. The potential for.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. Like, that part, I mean, I guess if your gauges are good. I don't know anyone with gauges, so I never know how these work. Do they just stretch your ears out over time? Is that the deal?
Yeah, you basically keep getting larger gauges.
Yeah.
And it, over time, increases it. And so then you get another larger size, and you just keep increasing it. We actually have a friend. Tristan has a friend who comes over for Dungeons & Dragons named Gage, and Gage wears gauges.
Oh, Lord. Did he change his name?
What Gage does Gage wear?
Did he name himself after he started doing that? Or was his name Gage before?
No, he was born Gage.
First name Gage?
First name Gage.
It's kind of a cool name.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd start getting gauges, but whatever.
Right.
When he gets engaged.
Wow.
To,
will he still wear his gauge?
And what if her name is Gidgey? I can't think of a name.
Gidget?
Gidget. Gage it.
Gage and Gidget.
All right. Well, anyway, this thing got stuck in this girl's ear, and she wants to get
ball python. Dang.
Yeah. That's as big as my snake. That's a little smaller than mine. Mine's a little more grown than that.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
So the... her statement is that she was playing with her pet snake when it poked its head through her stretched earlobe and became stuck. Do you think that's truth? Do you think that's like honest to God what happened? Or
no.
Do you think she said, I'll bet I can get my snake to go through my ear.
I think.
And then it got stuck and then she had to go to the emergency room.
I think you're exactly right. I think that I know enough about these. First of all, they're slow. Okay, ball pythons, very slow unless they're eating. They strike fast, but when they're just chilling, they are just very slow. When they try to crawl up my sleeve or go down my shirt or whatever Norman does, he very slowly hooks his head in there and slowly works his way in. She absolutely could have stopped it. Guaranteed, she could have stopped it. Now it may have gone for the hole, and she said, "Ooh, let's see where this goes." But it reminds me of those people.
I'm going to let this play out. Let's see what happens.
It's like those people. It's like people that show up at ERs with like a, you know, an Amazon Echo up their butt and try to explain it away. Oh, I don't know. I just sat in there. It was on the chair. I don't know how it got there.
Exactly.
That's how I think this went down.
Fell on my knife 14 times.
It was so weird. Let's see. What else we got here? Oh, a man tried to rob a fish and chip shop with a banana.
Nice.
Yeah. That's pretty good. This is in the UK because they said fish and chip shop.
Well, there you go. That's the problem is that here in America, anybody can walk into a store and buy a banana. Mm-hmm. But in the UK, bananas are outlawed and only outlaws have bananas.
That's right. The masked bandit burst into the doors of the takeaway. That's another reason I know this is British because they said takeaway.
The takeaway, yes.
In Atherton, Great Manchester. On February 11th, screaming, "Open that effing till now."
The till also is another giveaway.
Yeah. Although I hear that here, but only when I worked at places that had one. So someone would say, "You need to do the till tonight."
And really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, okay, how
they
do
called
I
call them?
Cash register.
I think they called them drawers.
Oh.
Like, did the drawer even out?
Oh. Oh, that's good. I like that shortening of it. That's good.
Yeah.
Because saying the cash register is annoying to say that
yeah,
one word.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the drawer.
Weren't we just talking yesterday to Justin about shortening words? I think drawer works, though.
Well, we were talking about South By.
Oh, yeah. I hate that. That would be like saying, somebody go check the cash reg.
The reg.
The reg.
The reg.
That yeah. sucks. The reg salad. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah.
People, you know, if this trend continues, Scott, it won't be long before all of American communication or the world's communication is reduced to just abbreviations and guttural grunts of like,
yeah.
Go away, Baton.
Go away, Baton. New phone, who dis?
Exactly.
Well, he tried to fool the staff into thinking he had a gun, but one of the workers noticed the object inside the bag was quite bendy. they showed him fumbling in his pocket trying to pull out a weapon. You see this in the video. He again failed and made a quick exit without getting any cash. Police are now hunting the suspect, who was described as 6 foot, wearing black hooded jacket and a blue jumper on top. His face was also covered with black material. I'm going to show this link. We'll see if we can get this this closed caption video. Oh, yeah, look at this thing. That thing does not look like a gun.
It's pretty obvious that
gosh, Brian, you got to see this photo. Like, it's
not
just
a banana in your pocket. You just glad to see. Oh, yeah, look at that thing.
That is the stupidest thing. All right, here's here's the video. Let's see if this.
He'd probably have more, an easier time convincing them that it's a batarang.
Oh, my gosh, look at him. This is great. There's video of this. And the way it's just hanging, it's so
the
stupid.
The limpest gun.
And where is he going? Oh, he went inside. Oh, he's fumbling with his pants. All right, this is the worst robbery I've ever seen in my life.
Oh,
nope,
fantastic.
He's out. He left. He's like, I give up. All right, well done, guy. Well done. All right, what else?
A man tried to hold on my shop with the banana once.
How strange.
How he got my banana, I don't know.
Pokemon Go in the news again. Brian, you're an expert, so you ready for this one? Because I need your help.
I am. Let's talk Pokemon Go. Let me put on my Pokemon head and
good.
I'm ready.
Pokemon head. Pokemon Go deploys Snorlax to quake-hit Kyurushu. So
okay.
I'll explain. The maker of Pokemon Go, Niantic, or however you say it, is now trying to draw visitors to the quake-ridden Kumamoto and Oita prefectures. Those are Japan places. by increasing appearances made by a popular character in the hit smartphone game. Boy, what a heartfelt,
right,
generous
exactly.
thing to do.
Well, you know, it's like let's increase tourism in areas that that people might be afraid to go visit. By putting a bunch of rare Pokemon in there that you can catch.
All right. Maybe you're right. Maybe this is the most generous, thoughtful thing anyone could have ever done. But
sure.
By the way, the Snorlax in Japan is actually called the Cabagon. Cabagon.
Cabagon.
Will soon appear more across these two areas. And let's see. Sightings of the big-bellied character are likely to surge from Saturday through March 13th. But it also warned players of the augmented reality game to avoid ongoing construction work from last April's quakes. Let's see. We hope the game event will provide an opportunity for people to visit the quake hit areas and find out how things are going. So your theory is the correct one. They're trying to improve visitation.
So at some point we're going to have, Dragonites in Detroit just to bring, get more visitors to Michigan.
Yeah, why not? I like that idea.
Yeah.
Here's another idea I like. I like music. Brian brought some. Oh. He's going to play it as a little bit of a break for us, and then we'll come back in a sec with recommendals and Tom Merritt here with Tom's Tech Time. All that coming right up. Let's do a song. What do you got?
All right. Well, we're, you know how I like mixing it up, Scott? You know how sometimes we've got the rock and the ska. We do a lot of those, and we do, some alternative and stuff like that. And occasionally we've played a little bit of a country influence tune here as part of Indie in the Middle, but I don't think that we've done any hip hop as part of Indie in the Middle. And this one came across my desk yesterday, and I don't even know, you know, usually even if I get something that's labeled as hip hop, I say, well, it's probably not going to be right for the show. But for whatever reason, I hit play on it. I listened to it and I liked it so much. I listened to it immediately again. And if that's not a glowing recommendation from somebody who usually doesn't listen to hip hop, I don't know what is. This one comes from the UK. It's a singer named Jake Aldridge, and he is from Suffolk in the UK. I don't know how close he is to that chip shop, but he was seen buying a lot of bananas at the local at the local grocery. His previously his music has reached number one on Zone Radio's Top 40 chart, and he's also been aired on Tom Robinson's BBC Introducing mixtape. This is a new single. It's called Fireman, and it has guest vocals by Lisa Ambrose and produced by 92. Here is from Jake Aldridge. Here is Fireman.
Guess I was just punching above my weight. My heart can't take that you left me here with nothing. Something's got me thinking lately, maybe I deserve this suffering. If this was the hand that I was dealt, those cards need reshuffling. I'm wondering why my stomach is rumbling like it's thundering. I'll blame you for my mistakes because I find that comforting. I'm struggling, laying on my own, but no, we should be cuddling. Used to laugh at my mistakes, bet you are still chuckling. But can we turn back time? Cause my heart, it really needs unbreaking. I don't know where we'll start, but I can't just keep on living. It's up in the air, I swear, but the jury ain't deliberating. The ball's in your court, but I fall short of the perfect man you're chasing. Guess I saw it coming. Your threatening was deafening, but I thought you were just bluffing. Now I run with a meal for one, no appetite to tuck in. I've been hoping you would open the door that you were just shutting. And there's nothing that could dig me out the hole that I'm in. Running round in circles, jumping hurdles, but the pain ain't numbing. Humming the same old song I'm strumming. You were simply stunning, gunning for the best and nothing less. I guess that makes me cunning. Now our separation is like one big test of patience. Angry, upset combinations, addressing all obligations. Used to love confrontation, but you're done with conversation. You'd be pro, you know, if I break in with some kind of occupation.
Sugar. I get all the flavor in Carefree. Sugarless gum.
Get full flavor, get it all. The full flavor's Carefree. Feeling Carefree.
Feeling Carefree. It's all phony baloney garbage.
The Morning Stream. There's nothing wrong with the food. It's the company.
Hello, everyone. We're back.
We're back.
I adored that.
Wasn't that great?
Yep. I want more of it.
I'm getting a little echo on my... Oh, no, it's on. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, it's... like you said, I'm not usually a big hip-hop fan, but That's different enough that I kind of actually really enjoyed it and loved the Lauren Ambrose vocals, or not Lauren Ambrose. She was on 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
Loved the
Brian Ibbett,
Ambrose.
By the way,
Lisa
everybody, Ambrose. Brian Ibbett, a week after trivia, this is what happens. You go to these things and you come back and all that stuff's jumbled up and messed up. You got to recover.
It totally is.
Yeah.
It's
your refractory period.
Useless.
Well, I like it. I think you should do more of it. Anyway, that music was great, and I would definitely listen to like a whole album of that stuff. That was awesome. Yeah. All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? Well, let's do one of these. She's not here, but I'm playing her thing. Nicole's not here, but we are doing recommendals in her stead. She is at a tax meeting today. She could not change the day on, so we said, hey, another week, no big deal. It's okay. It's all right. Mm-hmm. We have recommendations of our own, though. This is where we take a minute on the show and talk about stuff we're streaming and watching that we like. I'm going to start with Brian's because that's the tradition. Any setup for this clip, sir?
This one is probably going to be very obvious to people who've seen this movie. Actually, I think even obvious to people who've seen the trailer, but it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite parts of this movie. We watched it last night, and it recently made an appearance at the Oscars.
Ooh. All right, well, here it is. Let's find out what it is.
Say your line exactly as I'm about to, just as I'm about to do.
Sure. Okay.
Would that it were so simple?
Ooh. Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
My dear boy, why do you say that? Why do you say twer?
Well, you should say it like I said.
Yes.
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple. Would that it were so simple.
Watch my mouth. Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Keep your head still. Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
I'm trying to say that, Mr. Lawrence.
Lawrence,
I thought a minute ago it was Lawrence.
No, we can use Christian names, my good dear boy. Lawrence is fine, just as I call you, Herbie.
Okay.
So, would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Hand down that. Would that it were so simple. Trippingly.
Would that it were so simple. Trippingly.
No, don't say trippingly. Say the line trippingly.
I don't have any idea what that is, but I want to see it now.
It's the most recent film by the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen.
Oh, then.
And you were listening there to Ralph Fiennes trying to get Alden Ehrenreich to utter a line. He's normally in cowboy films, but they're trying to get him into, they're trying to change his image and put him into other films. The movie is Hail Caesar. Okay. Came out last year.
Yeah. How is it? Because a lot of people were poopy on that
Reviews
movie.
Were poopy on it. And I think it's poopy when you compare it to great stuff like Raising Arizona and the Hudsucker Proxy and, you know, and some of the Coen brothers' greatest stuff. However, I didn't think it was bad at all. It's got like a 7.2 on Metacritic and a 60 something rating on IMDb. It you know, the main crux of the film is George Clooney as this kind of drunken Clark Gable actor who gets kidnapped. I assume he's a drinker. He seems like a drinker in the movie. Gets kidnapped on set during an adaptation of the story of Jesus Christ told through the Roman Empire.
Oh, wow. From their perspective?
No, like retelling the story of Jesus using Caesar as the metaphor.
Oh, kind of thing. Oh, okay. Weird.
It is really weird.
Yeah.
And there's a communist angle because this is the 50s and that was a big scare right around then.
Right.
You get your Jonah Hill, Scarlett Johansson. Of course, you got Frances McDormand in there, Channing Tatum, and Fisher Stevens even makes an appearance.
Oh, hey, good old Fisher Stevens.
Good old Fisher Stevens.
Yeah.
It's actually not bad at all. It's streaming right now on HBO Now, HBO Go, whichever one you have. And I actually kind of enjoyed it, and you know, Tina and I were laughing quite a few times during the film. Everybody's in this. I mean, I mentioned all those other people, all those stars, but boy, the B-list actors that you see in this thing are, you know, one right after the other. You got Newman is in there.
Newman. Sweet. How's he looking? Is he all fat again or skinny again?
He's kind of fat again.
Okay.
He's kind of gone up. And the guy, you remember the Guild, right?
Yeah, I do remember the Guild.
The bald guy from that, whose name is totally escaping me.
Right, the one that played the tank in right, their guild. Exactly. I forgot his name, too. But yeah, yes.
I'm looking it up right now. Oh, yeah, you got Robert Picardo from Star Trek. There's your Star Trek connection. You got Highlander is in there. I mean, it's really Christopher Lambert. You got a lot of people. It's a great, I don't know, it's a great cast. And with a cast like that, it's hard to really screw it up.
Yeah.
Everybody
wants to be in a Coen Brothers movie. That's the deal.
Totally. Yeah. The other reason to watch it is as kind of preparation. So Alden Ehrenreich, who you just heard in that clip, is our new young Han Solo.
Oh yeah, he's the actor for that, right?
This kind of gives you a little bit of a preview of what to expect. He's really good, and when he's not talking with the really thick accent, boy, there are times when he comes into the room and he looks like the love child of Harrison Ford and who else? Looks like see again, mush brain. Leonardo DiCaprio looks like the love child of Harrison Ford and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's a combo for you.
Weird. It is, but
French Stewart.
But, like you say, there are Fisher times Stevens, when he walks into a room and he looks just like him.
Sure.
No, it's not Fisher Stevens. Suck, suck, suck. No, it's not Fisher Stevens. That's totally true. Jeff Lewis, that's the guy who's from the guild that I was trying to.
Oh, remember. Right. Yeah, that guy's great. I like him. That must have been something being a Coen Brothers movie. That must have been awesome for that guy.
Totally. Yeah.
I must have been thrilled.
I mean, he's what, like 20, 27? He's a young kid.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking.
By the way,
Jeff
should
Lewis
that Han Solo movie be called? Here's my recommendation for the title. Ready?
Yeah.
Han, comma Solo.
Han, comma Solo.
Yeah.
Han. So in
other words, it's Han Solo.
I don't think they're going to do that.
No, I don't think so either. But
in fact,
it'd be great.
I don't know what they're going to. What do you think they're going to call it? That's actually a really good question. What do you call the Han Solo standalone movie?
Star Wars Origins: Han Solo.
Ugh. I hope that's not it. I don't know what they're going to do now that I think about it. Maybe just Solo? Solo would be cool.
Oh, Solo would be cool. Yeah
just Solo. S-O-L-O. That's it.
Yeah.
Or Chewie's friend. Colon Chewie's friend. There you
How,
go.
When Han met Chewie.
Yeah, when Chewie met Hani or whatever. Because that's
Archeneer probably has it. It will probably be, Han Solo, a Star Wars story, since that's kind of what they did with Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Yeah, but they didn't colon it. They just had it on the outside logo. If they do it at all, it would be like Han Solo in the middle, and then on the outside, it'd have a little flourish that said a Star Wars story. Because I assume they're going to keep that going, right? Like the Star Wars story.
A fistful of credits.
A fistful of credits. Or
a few credits more.
I'll bet you have. Call it that. I bet you have.
Nerf herder.
Walking Carpet and Nerf Herder.
Right.
The Adventures of Chewie and Han. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to now play my clip. This is from my movie. It's not a movie. It's a TV show I'm watching right now.
Oh, cool.
And it's actually coming out now, meaning it's episode to episode. So this isn't a thing that you can get easily unless you have PlayStation View. So I realize this isn't going to help Netflixers and other people like that. However, Netflix does have this first season. So does Amazon Prime. This is the second season of what I'm watching right now. And I'm so in love with it. I can't even express
cool.
it in words.
Ooh,
so here's a chunk of a preview of a third episode of the show.
Is this something playing in the background of your TV show, or is it just really, really quiet?
It's just, do you not hear it?
No, barely. It's super, super quiet.
Oh, what the heck? That's weird. Hold on. Did it not? It sounds really loud on my end.
Weird. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going there.
All right,
don't.
We'll keep going. All right. I don't know how much of that you heard. Could you hear any of that?
Very little of it, but people are saying in mono. So in stereo, it's like really, really phased. So it sounded like it was played underwater far away.
Weird. It must
but
have been
the audience was able to hear it loud.
Yeah,
so,
it must have been a frequency thing because it's
something that
it's in stereo, but
Google Hangouts couldn't handle or something.
Yeah, but that's really weird.
I have a guess only because I saw what people were saying in the chat room.
Yeah. What do you think that is? What's the guess?
I think it's the Expanse.
It is the Expanse, it turned out. You're absolutely dead on. So it's I mean, okay, so the history of the Expanse is Tom Merritt. When I heard about the first season coming, I just heard about the show coming. I'm like, oh, what's this? Looks like real sci-fi for once on the Sci-Fi Channel. This is interesting. And Tom says, oh, you need to read these books. They're my favorite sci-fi books. I said, really? He says, yeah, these James S.A. Corey books, which are it's actually two people that go under the pseudonym of one guy, right. Write these books. And they're called the Expanse series, and they're different names for them and stuff. And he was right. The books just enthralled me. I love them. They're so good. I'm only on the third right now, but those first two books are amazing. And then I watched first season while I was still reading first book and loved the show. Just really thought they as close as any show has ever gotten to doing what I wanted with the books. Like, they really are expressing that world well and building it well and all of that. It's a higher budget. It's got great special effects. The acting's great. Really, really like it. And Thomas Jane is amazing in the show. His name's Detective Miller, and he's basically kind of a gumshoe detective that comes from the Belt, which is the people that are part of the colonies that were settled on the asteroid belt hundreds of years ago in our system. This is all set in the future, obviously. And the Belters are treated like secondhand citizens in the system. Like, if you're from Earth, if you're from Mars, you're cool. If you're from the Belt, people think you suck.
Right, exactly. Low class.
Yeah, it's totally a class.
The white trash of the universe.
Yes, and they've got this like crazy accent that sounds like a thousand accents combined.
Got her. Yeah, right. Like
it's really different.
Mutt language.
It's a perfect way to say it. It's very mutt language, and it's or unless that's offensive. Is that offensive to somebody? Mutt language? Maybe.
I don't think so. No, I mean, it's, you know, mutts are dogs that are mixes of several breeds. So yeah,
it's not that derogatory, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Maybe dogs would be offended.
I am enthralled by that accent. There's an actress who plays like second in command of the OPA, and she has this accent probably better than anyone else who's using it, and I love it. I just want to like crawl into the screen and kiss her on the ear. I'd love that accent. Anyway, it's awesome. I love it. I don't want to give anything away because people should be watching it. It's worth buying as a season if you have that option through Amazon or iTunes or whatever, or if you have a service like PlayStation View or anything that carries sci-fi, you should be watching The Expanse. It's just it's so good. It's the kind of,
I really like the first season.
It's like Battlestar Galactica. It's like Battlestar Galactica meets I don't know. There's so much good science in it that it's hard to, it's not that much fantasy. Like, there's a lot of, everything they do in there, they always kind of have a technological path that you could take to get there. And it's a very practical universe. Like, it's a universe without aliens and stuff. Well, sort of. I don't want to give anything away, but it's extremely well made, and I love it. It's gritty. It's hard. It's good.
It's very gritty sci-fi. Yeah. Very aliens.
That's a good comparison.
Gritty grittiness.
Yeah, aliens is a good comparison. Space Marines, and you know, just this ships are kind of like they just take what like overpopulation. Imagine like overpopulation issues in a big city in the world today, and then just translate that to the Milky Way. And it's just as bad in a broader sense. And the belt is kind of weird. And people are really tall and skinny and misshapen who are born on the belt. And they come to Earth. They can barely stand it. They have to be in water, suspended in water, or they'll die. Because the gravitational, you know, evolution of their bodies is all jacked up. It's just super, super good. And I can't recommend it enough. A little Blade Runner in there, for sure. A little bit of...
Blade Runner is a good comparison. Yeah. It's tough to compare it to something outside the sci-fi realm because so much of it lies in sci-fi, but it's, you know, it's that gritty sci-fi meets a cultural, you know, a conflict between cultures and a conflict between...
Yeah, like political intrigue is all over this thing.
Right.
It's very Game of Thrones that way.
And low class, or higher classes and lower classes and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like Game of Thrones a little bit. There's also like kind of a... I don't know. There's like 40 billion people on Earth in this future. And the UN is the governing body of Earth, and Mars has their own governing body, and they hate each other, and they're always on the brink of war. So it's very like Russia, US sort of Cold War stuff going on. Right. It's just awesome. Right. Oh my gosh. Watch The Expanse or read the books or do both. I'm doing both, and it's absolutely worth it. They're so good. I just want to read them now talking about it. That's how much I like it.
Cool.
So there's that. John Jagger, any thoughts? Yeah, he just laughed. All right. That's fine. That's fine.
Jeez. John. Tim and Brian Dunaway, they really don't. You know, they don't know how to do a good guest spot on TMS.
I know.
They just laugh their way through it.
Dunaway, do you agree? Yeah. See, it's a waste of time.
All right.
It's a waste of time. John, one last chance.
We're just not going to ask you anymore.
Yeah, we're not. You're out. You're done.
Maybe
get off
Terpster.
The show.
Does Terpster have some sort of
yeah, he does.
Contribution?
He says, hey, Terpster, what's going on?
It's called JizzCon.
What? That's a non sequitur.
That's not what I was expecting.
No, I don't know what he's talking about.
It's like a thumb. I don't like it.
It's like a thumb. I don't know what he's saying.
Shit, meatballs.
All right, great. Get out of here.
Shit. Scott, can we cut that bit out about my tiny dick?
I miss talking to him. He's been busy for 2 weeks, and I haven't been able to talk to him. So he was here in the States. He went to GDC, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he likes the GDC. And attended.
The Grapefruit Designation Consortium.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you're familiar with this.
I am. I watched a TED Talk on it.
It does sound like a thing a TED Talk would be about, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
That's awesome. All right. I got to send Tom a link, which I forgot to do earlier. And we'll get him in here. And yeah, recommendals. Next week should have Nicole back. We'll do another rando. Since she's
cool. I like this free-for-all business.
I like free-for-all a lot. It's a lot less work.
Yeah,
because I watch a lot of random stuff, and it's then easier for me to go, oh, well, this is a random thing I can talk about.
Valentina and I are trying to go back and watch as many of the Best Picture winners as we can on streaming.
Yeah.
And it was kind of through that tangent that we found Hail Caesar was streaming. It's like, well, okay, this obviously wasn't a Best Picture winner, but it was nominated at the most recent Oscars. And it's like, all right, let's watch it.
That's how I ended up watching... what's his name? My brain just pooped out too.
OJ Made in America?
No, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Dave Chappelle did a 2000 stand-up thing for HBO, an HBO special. I forgot the name of it. Killing Them Softly or Killing Them Something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's older, but it is the funniest stand-up I think I've ever seen.
Wow, and really?
HBO? I just bumped into it on HBO. I'm like, I never saw this. I'll check it out because I like Dave Chappelle. He makes me laugh. I like it almost everything I've ever seen him do, but I had not seen this one, and apparently I'm slow because everyone says this is like the greatest, this is the stand-up that put him on the map or made him forever the Dave Chappelle that we all know now. So if that's, I guess, maybe a secondary recommendation, if you get a minute, check out, well, if you get an hour, if you have an hour in your life, go check out Dave Chappelle's.
Very bold of you because you could have saved that and used that for another.
I totally could have. I should have saved it for the future. Oh, well, the future is now.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Oh, the man himself. Mr. Tom Merritt is here. Hello, Tom. What's going on?
Merritt.
Oh, I like that one better.
I want that one.
In addition.
Who made you those? Somebody made you those. What was the deal?
Yeah, it was the Book People podcast years and years ago.
I love that stuff. I want to make my own little crappy old like 80s era radio stinger name things. I don't know how to make them, though.
You've got some singers in your family, right?
Yeah.
Just gather around the old microphone.
I just don't know if they can do that kind of cheese ball jingle thing.
Oh, there was a company that was doing those for a while. And as one of the podcast award prizes that I got a few years ago, that was included in it. And I don't know why I never did it. It was just like I set it aside saying, oh yeah, I need to make sure I do that. I don't know if you still should. But it's
totally.
you get a bunch of people harmonizing going Coverville with Brian Hibbett in the afternoon.
I love that. You should totally do that. Well, Tom Merritt, it's fabulous, I think is the word I want to find today to describe having you here.
It's great to be here.
He is here for some
little peek behind the scenes, folks.
Yeah.
Whenever I am waiting now, because we do the hangouts, it's a little game Scott plays to put the link in a different Slack each time. So I'm sitting there, the reason it took me so long, I'm sitting there looking at the Frog Panther Slack,
he's
gonna send the link.
Yeah. I'm glad.
And then I looked at him, I see that there was a notification somewhere.
It's funny you say that because I have the exact thought. that maybe that's what why the delay. And I thought, I should have put it in the. I can never remember what.
We just have to communicate. We have to agree.
Yeah, we're going to agree to agree to disagree to agree. And I'm going to say the frog pants.
There were known knowns. There were known unknowns.
Yeah, exactly. You were right about Logan. That movie's awesome.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I loved it. Tom was lucky and got to see it like 3 weeks before everybody else. Or whatever it was, a couple weeks.
I was truly lucky. The only thing that was unlucky about it is I didn't get to see some of the cool trailers like the Deadpool thing that played before.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I can see those online.
So. I don't know what magic sauce Deadpool has, but it's the only like super crude humor that my wife laughs hysterically at. She thinks it is so freaking funny.
That's the magic sauce, isn't it?
I don't know what it is, but she loves it. Anyway, so Tom is here. Tom comes on for Tom's Tech Time. He is the purveyor of the Daily Tech News Show, which happens today at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time. I'll be on today. I always look forward to Wednesdays, not just for that, but for this, because you've come with, I don't know, let's call them pre-stories. What's happening this morning?
Well, you know, and I apologize for not paying close attention to the morning stream. Have you guys talked about the Tinder thing yet already?
No.
It's kind of top of the news here.
What's going on?
Let's talk Tinder.
What's going on with Tinder? Yeah. Do I swipe right or what happens here?
Oh, you don't get to swipe at all, my friend. Oh. It is a secret version of Tinder called Tinder Select. That is for celebrities and people who do really well on Tinder, according to TechCrunch's anonymous story.
Wait a minute. What does it define do really well on Tinder? What does that mean?
I think that means they're hot.
I think that's what. Oh, you mean the ones that get voted? Ladies,
I do really well on Tinder.
So the people who get flipped to the right more often than left. Or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. It's, you know, models, CEOs. You know, it's in a way I can see a need for this. If you are high profile, let's forget about how good looking you are for the moment. If you're high profile, if you go on Tinder, you're going to have people recognize you and just swarm you, and it's going to be unmanageable. So you would like a more select Tinder that has people who understand the situation you are in the public mind. It's like being invited to those private Hollywood parties, right?
Right.
Everybody gets, it's a different set of rules inside the walls, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Tinder goes and finds people and invites them in. Those people can then nominate people. However, and this is the interesting part to me, if you're nominated, you don't get to nominate anyone else. So you can't just keep
Really? So the line stops, the lineage stops there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pyramid scheme.
That's probably a good idea, to keep people from going crazy.
The pyramid scheme does not allow you to go any higher or to have
it's a very short pyramid.
Yes. It's not Amway.
You know, it doesn't sound like it. So I guess my other question then is, I assume this means single celebrities, or is this has Tinder turned into a thing where anybody can have a thing?
Single or the soon to be, I guess. No, it's for dating, right?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just making sure because I thought, well, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, right. No, it's not about like I'm looking for someone to help with my taxes. No, it's
okay.
As far as I know, and again, I'm not a Tinder user. So
Tinder Leet.
So, but it does sound like, I mean, a lot of services will transition into more social networks beyond what their original calling was.
No, I don't think that this is doing that. Okay. I think this is really just for the dating.
Yeah.
It also has a different design. And according to TechCrunch, the design they saw, they felt like was superior to the Tinder that the rest of us get.
Oh, I see how it is. So it's an executive bathroom. You don't have a key to it or whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe they're testing their design methodology on this app first, you know, and then bringing the improvements down to the hoi polloi.
Was there any data? None of us probably know this, but I wonder if there is any data that shows, you know, success rates from Tinder, like Tinder to date to marriage to successful life partner.
I'm sure that, you know, you could find data on that. I didn't bring that data with me, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of studies out there about that sort of thing.
Really curious about that.
I feel like I saw something recently about Tinder versus Match.com, but I don't recall what it said.
Well, Tinder is definitely, I mean, Tinder, even with as limited knowledge as I have about any dating apps, given the fact that I got married before any of them were existed. My limited knowledge of those things, it seems like Tinder is definitely the hot thing, and things like Match seem antiquated. Like online web dating seems like maybe it almost in my world, I barely hear about it anymore. Like OkCupid and all that. I never hear about it
back
anymore.
Back when Scott and I were younger, the way you'd meet women in a collective place was by calling that phone number that had the busy signal going on where you could talk in between the beeps of the busy signal.
I don't even know what that is.
Really? Did you not have that?
No.
It was like it was a weird sort of party line screw up thing, and you'd get a phone number from a friend of yours and they'd be like, oh yeah, you got to check this out, and it would be, it's not your typical busy signal. It was like a longer spaces between the and there was a little more echoey, yeah. And there were other people who were in that same call, and they'd be giving out their phone numbers so you could call them directly in between the ink. So it'd be 5 4 4 0.
Really?
Yes.
This is absolutely, Tom, is this news to you as it is to me? I've never heard of it.
I don't remember this.
This would be like 1984, 1985 era.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. So it's a little bit before my dating time.
Yeah, I was dating girls up the road.
Marshall Hallmark was saying, no, I won't go to the prom with you.
Yeah. For me, it was walk three doors down and say, hey, Amy, you want to go out? And she'd say,
what, in person?
You're not even driving yet.
But a secret Tinder kind of reminds me a little bit also of the secret Facebook that Andy Samberg got Mark Zuckerberg to create for him. So Andy Samberg said that he didn't want to get on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg, you know, there was some sort of thing that they were both at, and Mark Zuckerberg said, no, you should totally get on Facebook. And Andy Samberg said, I'll get on Facebook if you'll be my friend and nobody else. And so Zuckerberg created a separate Facebook server where it's just him and Samberg.
Is that true?
That's hilarious.
Totally true. That's weird. They should at least invite some other people in there. That's weird. Isn't that weird? It's a little weird.
Totally defeat the purpose. It's just their secret Facebook.
Weird. What do you do there? You check in and go, hey, today.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy? Good. That is hilarious.
Here's what I'm eating for lunch.
Yeah, here's a picture. The lasagna I had left over from last night. Well, right. Anyway, Tinder lovers unite, I guess, because maybe you can one day be hot enough and prominent enough, either or, to be featured in the private Tinder app. And I assume it's an app, or is it just part of the app and it expands once you're invited? We don't know that, I guess.
I imagine it's a separate app. Yeah. It's probably a Tinder Select app with its lovely blue accents instead of orange accents.
And if that's true, does Apple... in Apple's case, I know it's on both platforms, but both major platforms. But does Apple have hidden app opportunities that you can only get through invitations, or is it an app that I can go search for, find, but not do anything with? I wonder.
Probably. Yeah, you probably just can't log in. I wonder if you could find it in the App Store, or unless it's in test flight, just keep it there, where only people who get test flight. That would seem odd. For the mass celebrity audience to make them install test flight in order to get an app, but I'm sure they have people that can do that for them.
That's true. They have test flight people. I have test flight in a few apps that I'm testing now for a couple of game makers, and I really like test flight. Like, it's awesome, but
test flight works really well.
But it's also just sort of a techie nerdy thing in a way, right?
By the way, found this Daily Dot article.
Yeah.
See, when is it from? It is from March 24th, last updated February 24th. So that must mean March 24th of last year. They're not putting a date. But anyway, Consumers Research did a survey and found that when people described which apps led to relationships of any length, Tinder, OkCupid, Match, and eHarmony all landed within a few percentage points of each other. Mm. However, when they specified the length of the relationship, Match produced the greatest number of relationships lasting more than 1 month.
Oh, wow. That must not be fun for eHarmony to hear, because their whole thing is, we got this test and it matches you perfectly and I'm an old man.
Tinder scored the lowest for those looking for a relationship that lasts.
Yeah. No, those are, I assume that was true.
There's one reason people get on Tinder.
A lot of them anyway. I don't know any like recently divorced 36-year-olds who are like, you know, Tinder might be the way, and I don't feel like that's their zone.
I'm looking to meet someone to settle down and grow old with. Yeah. Tinder is my app.
Tinder is my app. Yeah, I don't think that's it. That's hook up on a Friday night kind of deal. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that and more, obviously, today on the Daily Tech News Show. Can't wait for that. That's 2:30 Mountain Time, DailyTechNewsShow.com for details. In the meantime, Tom, anything else you would like to mention?
Yeah, Pilot X is apparently showing up on shelves, even though its official release date is March 14th. So if you're interested in a novel about a time traveler, you can go check that out anywhere books are sold. It might even be on a shelf near you. Somebody said they found it at Chapters up in Canada, for instance. I know it's in stock at my local Barnes & Noble. I have to go over there and take a picture of it.
Oh, that's
before
awesome.
Before it sells. Yeah. I actually hope it's not there because it's old. But
sure.
Yeah, if you are in the Los Angeles area on March 18th, so that's a week from this Saturday, we'll be doing a book signing slash meetup at the Book Soup store on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood starting at 4 p.m.
Oh, that's a bitter soup, the Book Soup.
tasty soup. Ew. It's an alphabet soup.
It's an alphabet soup. Okay. It tastes like a cartridge out of a Nintendo Switch, it turns out. By the way, yeah. I tasted one. We did it on the show yesterday.
I did it on Saturday on DTNS, too. How did it taste for
you? It tasted bitter and awful, and them saying
it wasn't as bad as I expected. I mean, it definitely was bitter and awful, but it didn't make me want to, like, throw it out of my mouth.
No, anything. But I think the idea, kids are way more sensitive to that stuff. I think it probably is very effective to for a two-year-old to immediately get that thing out of their zone.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is cool and also funny and also awesome. And also the Switch is great. We'll talk about that today probably a little bit. I have some impressions cool. that I may spew on your show later. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. And by the way, he wrote that book he's talking about. He's too humble to say it again, but he did. He wrote that book. And
I wrote this book I'm talking about.
He's talking about, just so everyone knows, if you're new to the show and it's excellent, you should pick it up. So do that. Tom Merritt, everybody. Take it easy. We will talk to you later today.
Thanks, y'all.
Good, Tom.
Bye. I'm ejecting Tom.
Before we wrap up, I'm putting a link in your Slack here. This is from NPR News. I'm sorry, MPR News, Minnesota Public Radio News. This is a this is similar thing in Twin Cities called the Jam Line. It was basically if you called your own phone number and got the busy signal, every once in a while you could get this Jam Line thing.
Mm. Oh yeah, look at this. Here's some old audio. Can I play some of this? Oh, I can. Here, let's play some of it.
I think it's the article, or is it?
Well, it is an article, but there's a link to audio. So I'm going to push it. This is old. This is back from 2012. It's not that old. Oh, I can't find the audio. It must not be on the server anymore. Pooh. Oh, I really want to hear this.
Yeah.
Oh, here's some. Okay. 1978. Let's see. Oh, this is a... It's just video. There's no audio. Dang it.
Twin Cities kids called it the Jam Line. In other cities, kids called them beep beep lines. Teens exploited a flaw in the phone switching system that allowed multiple people to dial into the same phone number and hear each other. The Jam Line was noisy. An obnoxiously loud busy signal blared in the background, so kids would shout out phone numbers to call each other back. It was a jarring cacophony of sounds and voices. As soon as the phone company found out about a jam line,
that's exactly
they shut it.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
That's horrible that they are just like talking over each other. Like,
right?
Well, who are you? Who are you? Take better advantage of the moment. You know, like
you first.
You go first. Okay, wait. I'll say it now. No, you. That's hilarious. I'd never heard of that, dude. Never heard of that. That's awesome. All right. Once again,
so good.
Learning new things.
I'd have to listen to the rest of that article because that is hilarious.
That's pretty good. All right, let's be on our way. It's the show is done and we've really enjoyed it. Thanks everybody for joining us. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support the show. Big thanks to those who do, and even bigger thanks to those who may consider doing that in the near future. It's a relatively new month. Time to hop on and see what kind of rad cool things you can get for your various pledges. Patreon.com/TMS for all else about the show, how to contact us, email us, call us, all of it can be found at frogpants.com/TMS. All right, Brian.
All right, Scott.
I'm ready for you to
beat my way out of here with a song.
Throw me a song and make it land in a happy place. Whatever.
Throw me the whip, I'll throw you a song.
All right.
Christopher Green wrote in and said, "I've always been a huge Star Wars fan, and Galactic Empire's debut album just came out recently, and they do amazing rock/metal covers of famous and familiar tracks from all the Star Wars movies. I like all of them, so pick your favorite and play it for my 31st birthday on the 8th of March if you can. Thanks, and love the show, though." Signed, Christopher Green.
Nice.
Oh, heck yeah. This is great. This is the brand new album, self-titled album from Galactic Empire. It came out
at the beginning of February, but the CD comes out in March. And when I bought the MP3, I had the choice of buying the CD as well and getting the MP3 immediately. So who knows? This MP3 or the CD that comes in, I might use it as a giveaway in a future Stump Daryl segment.
Ooh.
What? Whoa. How cool is that? Mm. And technically illegal. Here is their version of the Cantina Band theme, Galactic Empire, from their brand new self-titled album.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow, Therapy Thursday and all that stuff. So come on back. I can't believe it's Wednesday. Where did this week go already? It's insane.
I know, right?
Freaking hump day. All right, come back tomorrow, everybody. We'll see you then.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.